Once again, you're listening to The Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper.
And I'm Pooh.
And here's Pooh with the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, baby.
Should I do it again?
No, not tonight. I got a lot to talk about. You really want to do it again?
Yes.
Go ahead.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I thought you were just joking.
I wasn't joking.
You really like that, don't you?
Yeah, but I keep scaring myself.
Well, you know what? That's very good when you get scared to get back up on the horse and ride it. Thank you.
You're welcome. I love you.
I love you too.
Bye.
Oh, people, why don't you come in here and let me talk to you a while? That's right, get right up and listen to a concerned citizen speak here too. I told you a little something that my daddy told me. My basic fundamentals, if you want to be free, the sun is something wrong internally. So if you want your freedom, son, don't want your country to be overrun. You've got to keep America number one. My daddy told me, son, don't ever say to God. What they're trying to do. Son, don't ever get your gun. Bring your bill right away from you. My daddy said, son, don't ever get your gun. That's what they're trying to do. Son, don't ever get your gun.
else is a letter I want to read to you one more time, because I think that this is one of the best letters I've ever read. I've read it twice on the air now. I'm going to read it again. It's from the Arlington, Washington Times, June 7th, 1995. And I quote, "During the past several months in the American press, the Democrats have frequently denounced the Republicans as Nazis due to their attempt to control runaway federal spending. How very ironic. I remember the Nazis. Let me share with you a little about them and recall some of their exploits. First of all, Nazi was gutter slang for the verb to nationalize. The Biedermeierhof gang gave themselves this moniker during their early struggles. The official title of the Nazi party was the Nazi, let me back up here, the National Socialist Workers' Party of Germany. The official title of the Nazi party was the National Socialist Workers' Party of Germany." Now, this isn't in the letter, folks. This is an aside. Why is it so difficult for people to get that through their thick heads? It says it all right there. I continue. "Hitler and the brown shirts advocated the nationalization of education, health care, transportation, natural resources, manufacturing, distribution, and law enforcement. Hitler came to power by turning the working class unemployed and academic elite against the conservative republic. Same thing is happening today. After Der Führer's election, the Nazi party ceased being a political conspiracy and was transformed into a fashionable social phenomenon. Party membership was especially popular with educators, bureaucrats, and the press. Being a Nazi was politically correct. They called themselves the children of the new age of world order and looked down their noses at everyone else." "As Hitler accrued more power, he began referring to his critics as the dark forces of anarchy and hatred. Anyone who questioned Nazi high-handedness in the German press was branded a conservative reactionary. Joseph Goebbels, Minister of Communications, proclaimed a new world order. The Nazi reign of terror began with false news reports on the radio and in the newspapers. Paramilitary groups of Poles, Jews, Bohemians, and Gypsies were said to be arming themselves to overthrow the new world order, and Hitler demanded that all good people register their guns so that they wouldn't fall in the hands of terrorists and madmen. Right-wing fanatics of the old order who protested firearms registration were arrested by the SS and put in jail for fomenting hatred against the government of the German people. Then the Reichstag, the government building, was blown up. And Hitler ramrodded an emergency anti-terrorist act through parliament that gave the Gestapo extraordinary powers. The leader, I don't know if I can go on. The leader then declared that for the well-being of the German people, all private firearms were to be confiscated by the Gestapo and the Wehrmacht, federal law enforcement and military. German citizens who refused to surrender their guns when the jackboots, the Gestapo, came calling, were murdered in their homes. By the way, the Gestapo was the Federal Marshal Service of the Third Reich. The SWAT team was actually invented and perfected by the Gestapo to break into the homes of the enemies of the German people. When the Polizei, Bewachen, or local police, refused to take away guns from townsfolk, they themselves were disarmed and dragged out into the street and shot to death by the SA and the SS, the Nazi version of the BATF and the FBI. When several Lutheran ministers spoke out against these atrocities, they were imprisoned and never seen again. The Gestapo began to confiscate and seize the homes, businesses, bank accounts, and personal belongings of wealthy conservative citizens who had prospered in the old republic. I'm sorry, folks. This isn't funny. It really isn't. It's tragic. But the comparison, it's almost as if the clock had wound back to 1936. This is incredible. And it's even more incredible that the people who are instigating all of this are calling those of us who want to stop it Nazis. And most of the stupid sheeple out there are buying it because they don't know any better. Let me continue. The Gestapo began to confiscate and seize the homes, businesses, bank accounts, and personal belongings of wealthy conservative citizens who had prospered in the old republic. Pamphleteers who urged revolt against the Nazis were shot on sight by national law enforcement and the military. Gypsies and Jews were detained and sent to labor camps. Mountain roads throughout Central Europe were closed to prevent escape of fugitives into the wilderness and to prevent movement and concealment of partisan resistance fighters. Public schools rewrote history, and Hitler youth groups taught children to report their parents to their teachers for anti-Nazi remarks. Such parents disappeared. Pagan animism became the state religion of the Third Reich, and Christians were widely condemned as right-wing fanatics. Millions of books were burned first, and then people. Millions of them burned in huge ovens after they were first gassed to death. Unmarried women were paid large sums of money to have babies out of wedlock and then given medals for it. Evil was declared as being good, and good was condemned as being evil. World order was coming, and the German people were going to be the peacekeepers. Yes, indeed, I remember the Nazis, and they weren't Republicans. They were socialists, and they were monsters. Signed, Thomas Colton Rutherford, Arlington. If you want to hear some Nazis, turn into Radio for Peace International out of Costa Rica some night. And you can hear the Nazis and all their glory and all their lies and all their scummy little machinations. It's incredible. I want to talk about Waco tonight. And I wanted to read that to you first so you know what's really going on. Socialism. If you've been watching the newspapers lately and been reading the press releases from the Nazi jackbooted thugs of the BATF and the FBI, who are crying and whining that they're being done wrong because they're going to be investigated, and it was really those nasty old Branch Davidians that was threatening America, not them. Bullshit. Total, unadulterated, complete bullshit right up to their eyebrows. These men are the most chronic, barefaced liars I have ever listened to in my life. Let's go over Waco and let's look at the truth. And I want you all to know what the truth is so you can carry it out. And you can fax and write and call your congressmen, and specifically the ones on this investigating committee, and demand that the truth be heard. Number one, they have never decided why they raided the Branch Davidians. Never. Not to this very day. They've changed their tune 5 million times. And if you read the accounts that they're putting in the newspapers now, they're changing it again. You see, the first press release put out by the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms on that morning of February the 28th, 1993, ladies and gentlemen, was that they made the raid on that church because they had information from a foreign source that all of the church members were going to commit mass suicide. Now, do you understand what I'm telling you? The raid was strangely coordinated with a full-blown attack by the Waco Tribune that morning, that very morning in the newspapers. Now, they say that it was a coincidence that they had really planned to raid the compound and deliver the, actually they were going to serve a search warrant is what they said, at a later date, but they were afraid that the publication of the newspaper would give their plans away. Now, why an attack upon an obscure religious group by a newspaper in their own hometown was going to give an attack by the BATF away, I can't quite figure out. I don't think anybody could. It's a very long stretch of the imagination, I tell you. But you see, they lied again, because when the search warrant was finally obtained by real people who can read and tell the truth, and I have a copy of it, and any of you can get a copy of it also, if you wish, but not from me. Go to the source. To get a copy of it, you'll see that the warrant expired on that day, the 28th. So they lied in saying that they were going to serve the warrant and raid the compound at some later date, but did it that morning because they were afraid that the publication of the newspaper was going to tip them off. The truth is, they didn't want you to know that their raid was in coordination with that issue of the newspaper. That's the truth. The supposed tip that the Branch Davidians were going to commit mass suicide came from a branch of the Anti-Defamation League in Australia. And the man who issued this warning to the State Department was actually the head of the Australian branch of the Lodge of B'nai B'rith. It doesn't matter, though, ladies and gentlemen, because even if the Branch Davidians had planned to commit mass suicide, which they had not, what was the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms doing conducting the raid on a church because they were going to commit mass suicide? And how in the world were they going to stop these people from being killed when they raided this church with guns drawn, firing, and a helicopter, in fact, more than one helicopter, at least two helicopters were circling overhead, firing down through the roof of the building? These are facts, indisputable facts. These are the true things that happened. You see, Waco's been investigated by many, 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 many people, and the reason that this won't die in the minds of the American people is because these truths are indisputable. The lies have become transparent and nobody believes them anymore. In fact, I don't think that there's three people in this whole country that believes the government when they open their mouth about Waco, Texas. Anyone in government. I don't care who it is. Now, here's the clincher. They say that they were merely attempting to serve a warrant, and the Branch Davidians fired upon them first and killed four of their men. Well, that can't possibly be true, because three of those men were killed inside the building. They were inside the building. Now, this we have this in a statement issued during a press conference by the BATF themselves. Now, here's the kicker, folks. They were lying again. You see, everything they said was a lie. They were not trying to serve a search warrant. You know why? They didn't even have the search warrant with them. They left it behind. They had intended on raiding this building and killing those people from the first moment. From the very first moment. They had coordinated their raid in concert with a propaganda release, the story attacking David Koresh and the Branch Davidians on that morning by the Waco Tribune. Blatant propaganda lies. Furthermore, the warrant only specified David Koresh, no others, nobody else. They all knew that David Koresh was frequently seen in town alone, frequently made trips to town. Whenever the sheriff would call him and ask him to come into his office, he would do so voluntarily. When someone in the local community who owned a gun shop said that the BATF was asking about the weapons that the Branch Davidians possessed, David Koresh said, "Tell him to come on out and see me. I'll show him everything we have. We don't have anything illegal." These are facts, ladies and gentlemen. This is not conjecture. I'm not making this up. I investigated Waco probably as much or more than anyone in this nation. In fact, I was there broadcasting on the scene. In fact, it was my broadcast one memorable night when I warned the entire world via this broadcast that unless Americans went down there en masse and stood between the federal agents and that church, that all of those people inside would be murdered. That very night, the radio station, this one that you're listening to on shortwave, WWCR, was burned to the ground. That's where I first saw Linda Thompson. In a valiant effort to save those people inside that church, she stood in a parking lot in camouflage dress, waving an AR-15 over her head, vainly trying to muster a militia. And I knew right then I had met America's Joan of Arc. Without a doubt. You see, there's not probably five men in the country who would have had the guts to do what she did on that day. Approximately 25 people showed up with weapons. On their way toward the compound, they were surrounded by police and dispersed. But they tried. No one else did. The next statement that the BATF issued when America questioned the fact that the Branch Davidians were going to commit mass suicide, because if they were, why were they fighting back? Why didn't they just commit mass suicide? So they changed their story. Now, it wasn't because the Branch Davidians were going to commit mass suicide. Now it's because they had information that the Branch Davidians, and this is all recorded, ladies and gentlemen, on miles of videotape over that 51 days. No, the Branch Davidians were going to make an armed raid on Waco, Texas, and kill all the people that lived there. Another lie. You see, the fact is that one of the Branch Davidians, who had a federal firearms license, had most of the weapons that were owned by the Branch Davidians at a gun show, trying to sell them to raise money for the church. That also is documented. And at that gun show, probably over 500 or 600 people saw him there with all of these weapons attempting to sell them. They did not own any machine guns, not even one. None whatsoever. Period. They had no hand grenades, they had no rocket launchers, they had no rockets, they had no anti-tank weapons. They had no armor-piercing shells. See, where are your brains, ladies and gentlemen? If they had these weapons, if they had these weapons, let me tell you something. If I had been in that building with all those people and I had those weapons, I would have won that war. Hands down, no contest, no problem. See, I fought in Vietnam. I know how to do it. I know how to use weapons like that. These people were attacked by armored personnel carriers. Tanks, not only just tanks, but tanks that had flamethrowers on them. Now, you all thought Linda Thompson was crazy. Linda Thompson may have made a couple of mistakes, but she did her very best in the shortest period of time with what she had to raise the consciousness of the American people about what really happened in Waco, Texas. And if she had not done that, none of you would give a damn about those people right this moment, I can assure you. You ought to be ashamed of yourselves for attacking her. You owe her a great debt of gratitude. But without her warning, without her guts, the New World Order might have come a lot sooner. Americans might have been enslaved a lot sooner than they ultimately will be if they don't start thinking. There were military psychological warfare teams on site using military psychological warfare techniques and technology against the Branch Davidians, using huge speakers, blaring the sounds of rabbits being slaughtered. These boots were made for walking and a lot of other terrible things. There were members of the British SAS on site, and British aircraft were used with forward and downward looking infrared to scan the buildings and the walls and locate where the Branch Davidians actually were. Now, I've heard many Christians tell me right to my face, and it took every bit of willpower that I had not to take my fist and smash them in the nose. I didn't. I thank God that I didn't. But the urge was there, and it was overpowering to hear Christians, such hypocrites. Most Christians I've ever met in my life are the biggest hypocrite liars I've ever seen. And that's the truth. And I'm a Christian. I hate to say that, but it's true. As soon as they see something they don't like, or as soon as something might become uncomfortable, or they might have to take a risk, or they might be considered politically incorrect, they don't behave like Christians. Or many of them tell me to my face, quote, "Oh, they were just a bunch of religious fanatics. They deserved to die," end quote. Not one, not two, many. I heard it on talk radio. I saw it on television. I heard ministers and churches on Sunday morning, these big, great evangelists. Judas goats are what they are. Talking about how their congregation should not fall into the cultish ways of the same thing that happened to the Branch Davidians might happen to them, and they might lose their 501c3 status. Oh, heaven forbid! What would Jesus say if he were here today to hear that? I think he'd be throwing more than money changers and tables out of the temple. I think he'd be throwing these people out too. The next thing that was said, folks, the next thing that was said was, "Don't go away. I'll be right back after this short pause."
Never in human history has so few taken so much.
Welcome to the new world order.
Never in human history has so few taken so much from so many of America's Illuminati and their warlords of Wall Street and Washington. In just 8 years, these gangsters and international government gangsters took it from the greatest creditor nation to the largest debtor nation on earth. Our standard of living has dropped like a rock.
The Hour of the Time, ladies and gentlemen, is sponsored, as always, by Swiss America Trading. Were you aware that Craig Smith of Swiss America Trading was broadcasting? He had his own show while this was going on, which David Kresh used to listen to. And he sent word out that he wanted to talk to Craig Smith, so they set it up. And he talked on the air to Craig for a while. Well, the government didn't like what was transpiring. They didn't like the fact that the American people were hearing what was going on, so they put a stop to that real quick. But a little bit of the truth got out. And whenever he could, Craig, being a good Christian and a good man, and he would have done this whether he was a Buddhist or whatever, because he is a good man, attempted to prevent the loss of life. He tried over the radio to talk the Branch Davidians into coming out before anybody got killed. But you see, they weren't going to come out. They weren't going to come out because they were Americans. They prized their freedom. They relished their freedom of religion. They put their God above everything else. And their home had been attacked. They were in the right. Why should they come out? Why? Done since the beginning of this country, they protected their home and their church. They weren't the first ones who've ever done this. But Craig tried. He tried very, very hard. At the same time, after they burned WWCR, he worked feverishly to get us back on the air the very next night. I believe it was WRNO out of New Orleans. And so we didn't lose, I think, but one night of broadcasting. One night of broadcasting we lost. We were back on the air after, I believe, 24 or 36 hours, something like that. So that's the kind of person that Craig Smith is, and that's the kind of people that run Swiss America Trading. I mean, after all, if you owned a business, would you be sponsoring the Hour of the Time? He believes in the message of this broadcast. He believes in America. He believes in the Constitution. He believes in what I'm doing. And he's been behind it through thick and thin. Hell or high water. Lost a lot of business because of it. I know he has. And so I depend upon you to make sure that he doesn't suffer because of that. I'm not telling you to go out of your way. If you don't plan on buying precious metals, then don't. But if you are planning on buying precious metals and you derive real worth from this broadcast, then you owe Swiss America Trading, as far as I'm concerned. You owe them. And since they're the very best, and they guarantee what they do, and they have a buyback policy, and I guarantee it also, you can't lose. So, if you're thinking about getting some real money to jingle in your pockets, believe me, folks, if you've never held a real gold coin in your hand, you've got a real awakening coming. Once you've felt that in your hand, you'll know the difference between a piece of paper and real money. And nobody will have to tell you. So call 1-800-289-2646 and do it now. 1-800-289-2646. 1-800-BUY-COIN. Do it now. You know how we all tend to procrastinate. 1-800-289-2646. 1-800-289-2646. See, I've been doing this for 3 years, and I just almost forgot the number. Impossible. Don't go away. Got a lot more to talk about. And it's all important.
Our farms, our factories, they've exported your jobs and surrendered our arms.
They want
a new world order.
Wants you to be a slave from birth to grave. The banks just own the Federal Reserve. It's private. They own it.
Waco. The Waco Massacre. It was a massacre. People who live in Waco, Texas, I don't care who they are, should be ashamed of themselves. I've made a vow never to drive through that city or spend a nickel in Waco, Texas for the rest of my life, no matter what. I will not do it. And I recommend that the rest of you don't do it. You see, the people in that town had a carnival atmosphere. I was there. I was watching it. They loved it. All of the federal agents and the attention and the gawkers and the looky-loos that came to town spent a lot of money there. And the people in Waco, Texas ate it up. Smiles from ear to ear. They had a BATF celebration day. They had a big billboard erected by the side of the highway thanking the BATF and the FBI for all the business that they brought Waco, Texas. Can you imagine this? We went out to eat, you know, almost every night. We didn't have a kitchen in our motel room. And everybody was smiling and happy and just having a great old time. And me and my efforts to gather intelligence, and it was very fruitful, sought out the places where the BATF and the FBI went to drink. And they drink a lot. Some of them, not all of them. Some of them don't drink at all. But the ones that drink, drink a lot. And I would just go and hang around. And they would talk a lot, too. And ladies and gentlemen, I made a vow while I was there, there will be no more Wacos in this country ever. And if I have to give my life to prevent that, I will gladly do it. I'll be there either first or right on the heels of whoever's first getting there. And if I'm not there first, it'll probably be Linda Thompson. Only this time, if it ever happens again, I'll take an army with me. And I mean it. There will be no more Waco, Texas in the United States of America. Period. If they even think in their wildest dreams that they can pull another Waco off, it'll be the last wildest dream that they ever have. Now, I'm not making threats. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you facts. This is the way it's going to be. There's not going to be another Waco, Texas. I'm never going to sit and watch on television or in person Americans in a church being attacked by overwhelming forces, by tanks, by psychological warfare teams and technology, by armored personnel carriers. Never. And they said they had to do this to save the children. The butcher of Waco, Reno, Butcher Janet Reno, said they had to do this to save the children. Now, if they really wanted to save the children, all they had to do is put their guns down and go home. And go home. Because the next thing that they told the world that they were there for was not that they were going to commit mass suicide. Not that they were going to raid the city of Waco, Texas and kill everybody in Waco, Texas. And all this is documented, folks. They're the ones who issued these press releases. It was recorded on television. We have the videotapes, all of it. These people lied from beginning to end. They're nothing but scum. Nazi, jackbooted, Gestapo scum. And now they're scared because there's going to be an investigation. And Clinton's trying to protect himself by finally doing what he should have done when it happened. They're starting to fire people, change them around, and demote them and stuff. And they think that that's going to make us back off. Well, it's not. We're never going to back off. No. In fact, Veritas and the intelligence service of the Second Continental Army of the Republic is offering a reward for anyone who can provide the proof that will cause the arrest and conviction of all of those top officials in the United States government who are responsible for this. Their arrest and conviction. If you'd like to contribute to that fund, make your checks or money orders out to Reward Fund and send them to Veritas, Remember, don't make checks or money orders out to Veritas. We don't want your money. It's all going to go in a special account to Veritas, V-E-R-I-T-A-S. P.O. Box 3390, St. John's, Arizona, 85936. Veritas, P.O. Box 3390, St. John's, Arizona, 85936. Remember, make your checks or money orders out to Reward Fund. Whoever provides the information in or out of the government, I don't care, that can cause the arrest of the butcher of Waco, Janet Reno, William Clinton, the head of the FBI and the BATF at that time on the scene, and the heads in Washington, who had to approve and order what they did, or they wouldn't have been able to do it. The arrest and conviction of these people. We'll give you every penny that we collect. Every single penny, and we've already got a substantial amount. Nobody's going to touch those funds except whoever provides the information. And now back to what I was talking about. I hate to get off on these sidetracks, but you needed to know that. The next thing they said was that the children were being molested and sexually abused. The children were being molested and sexually abused, and these charges were brought about by one Mark Breaux. Mark Breaux. Now, first, let me tell you about Mark Breaux, and then you'll know that his charges are absolutely asinine, stupid, could not possibly have taken place. And besides that, there were two separate investigations conducted by the child welfare people in the state of Texas. And I'll tell you about the results of those investigations in a few moments. You can also get the results of those investigations just like we did by going to them. You can also talk to the local sheriff in that county who interfaced with David Koresh on many instances. He said that he was never a threat to anybody, period. I met Mark Breaux when I did a speaking tour of Hawaii. During one of my talks at a church in Honolulu, during the intermission, a woman led a blind man up to me, led him by the arm because he was stumbling and bumping into chairs and would not have made it to me if she had not have led him by the arm. I'd never seen this man before, didn't know him from Adam. She introduced him to me as a prophet of God. And I said, yeah, sure, so am I. I said, oh no, I'm very serious. This is Mark Breaux. He's a prophet, a real prophet. I said, well, I'm very happy to meet you. I was standing just a little to the right of being in front of him because there were chairs and other people standing around. And he was looking off to my left, actually believing that he was looking into my face as I was talking to him. He was blind as a bat, couldn't see me not more than a foot and a half in front of his face. Everywhere he went, he was led by the arm by this woman. So Mark Breaux lied. He never saw anything. He couldn't see anything. He's blind. He cannot see anything. And I can tell you that from my own experience. And if you don't believe, he was at my lecture, and if you don't believe that I met him, I have it on videotape. I have my whole lecture. I videotape every lecture I ever do. It's right there. You can see me standing there, him standing there, the lady carrying him up by the arm, and us talking and him staring off into space. He had glasses on, and folks, I'm not making fun of people who wear glasses. I wear glasses myself. But his glasses were approximately, a good quarter inch thick, approaching a half inch. And I'm not exaggerating. He had on the thickest glasses that I've ever seen on any human being in my life, and he still could not see me standing directly in front of him. And all of this stuff about child abuse and child molestation is based upon the testimony of Mark Breaux. Blind as a bat. I was amazed when he was questioned that nobody gave him a vision test. Nobody held anything in front of his face and asked him to read it or asked him to describe it or anything. Nobody did it. So I question, I really, really, really question the attorneys involved in all of this. Whose side were they really on? And I don't know them, and I could be completely wrong. But it seems to me that somebody would have done that, but they didn't. Now, here's the truth about the investigations conducted by the Texas Child Welfare Services into the allegations made by Mark Broek, because he'd been making these allegations for a long time. And the reason that he was making these allegations is he was trying to take over the leadership of the church from David Koresh. Eventually, he caused so many problems and so much hate and discontent and divisiveness amongst the members of the church that everybody, all at once, decided that this guy had to go, and they kicked him out. They just threw him out of the church. So he went to Hawaii to be a prophet. And that's where I met him. The Child Welfare Services in the state of Texas state unequivocally that they investigated on two separate occasions thorough investigations of the allegations of child abuse and child sexual molestation by the Branch Davidians, by David Koresh in particular, and found no substantiation to any of the allegations whatsoever. In fact, they stated in their report that the Branch Davidian children, on the whole, were the happiest, most well-adjusted children of any group that they had ever investigated in their history. It's in the reports, folks. Don't believe me. Get them and read them yourself. As always, listen to everyone, read everything, believe absolutely nothing unless you check it out for yourself. So what was this all about? Well, nobody really knows. Nobody really knows. We've got a lot of clues. We've got a lot of speculation. But only those people who actually did this really know what they were doing. I would guess, by the coordination of the different organizations, military, BATF, FBI, Texas officials, and the British SAS, and yes, also some American Special Forces people were there, and the psychological operations teams, that it was a test of their ability to do it, number one, to be able to propagandize the American people into accepting it, number two, and number three, instill the fear of God in everybody who lives in this country so that they will never, ever resist the federal government in anything that they ever attempt to do. But that's only an educated guess. I cannot prove that. And I want you to know that. So don't go out and say that I said that this is what it was for. This is what it looks like to me that it was for. But there is no proof to substantiate that anywhere. If there is any proof, I hope it comes out in these hearings, if these hearings are fair, if they are actually conducted in reality, like they should be. And if they start with the first lie and go through to the last. One reporter, ladies and gentlemen, one reporter stood up during one of the press conferences and said, "Are we seeing the beginnings of a police state in America?" Well, ladies and gentlemen, he was placed under arrest. Now, tell me about the Constitution and the first article and amendment that protects the freedom of speech and the freedom of the press and all that. Tell me all about it. He was arrested, thrown in jail. No charges, no reason, no court hearing, no nothing. When the word got out and people began to call and legal representatives began to show up on behalf of this man, he was mysteriously just released. All of us who attempted to do real reporting and real journalistic investigation were harassed to the max.
and I mean to the max. While I was taking photographs, one BATF agent walked directly toward me, pulling his gun up a couple of inches out of his holster in a threatening manner, and told me to give him my camera. I refused and continued taking pictures of him. Oh, he was angry. And I'm sure if all the other people had not been there watching, he would have shot me on the spot. But I still wasn't going to give him my camera. Then, since he knew I wasn't going to give him my camera, he demanded I give him the film. I told him no. And I held up my press credentials and told him that I was protected by the first article and amendment to the Constitution of the United States of America, and he wasn't too impressed by that. What he was impressed by was the 20 or so odd people standing around watching. That's what scared him. Scared him so bad, and the fact that I had his picture in my camera, that he grabbed his buddy and they got in their vehicle and left real quick. So that's some kind of a lesson that we learned. Linda was arrested also. And many other people. And I'm going to tell you this without any doubt whatsoever. They lied from beginning to end. When the fire started, we had people downwind to try to find, see if they could smell tear gas, or CS gas. And these were Vietnam veterans and knew the smell. They tell you it's outlawed in war, so is the 50 caliber machine gun against personnel, but we used it in Vietnam against personnel. And the Viet Cong and the North Vietnamese Army used 51 caliber machine guns against us. We used tear gas and we used CS gas in Vietnam all the time. And old Bobo Gritz, you know, Lieutenant Colonel James Bobo Gritz, well, he went on radio all during this time and said, CS gas is illegal. You can't use it in war. We never had it in Vietnam. We were not allowed to have it. We were not allowed to use it. And he lied. Just like he's lied so many other times. Because in his own book he talks about somebody accidentally setting off a canister of CS gas in his camp and the big chaos that it caused. Now, if you don't believe me, go read his book. People criticize me an awful lot. An awful lot. They say I'm supposed to walk down the middle and compromise and all this other crap. And I won't do it. I'm going to fight this battle according to my principles and ideals and according to what I understand this nation to be founded upon. And I'm going to do my best to restore the Constitution to its rightful place as the supreme law of the land. And I will do it until the day that I die, come hell or high water. I don't care what anybody thinks. I don't care what they call me. I don't care what they think about me. I don't care about the criticism. In fact, there are so many people standing in line to criticize me and call me names that you've got a long way to walk just to get to the back. You can get right in line with Tim Lesperance. He's in the back right now. And all the rest of them, turncoats. Don't let these people in Washington fool you. Traditionally, when the Congress holds an investigation, it's to slough over the real facts, to throw the public a couple of bones. They'll fire a couple of people, or censure a couple of people, or maybe charge one or two people, and it'll be over with. Just like Iran-Contra. Now, Ollie North, who lied to Congress, was in the business of trading guns for drugs as some kind of big hero. How does that happen? He testified in Congress, and so did Poindexter, that they were ready and willing to suspend the Constitution to reach their ends if the need arose. The Illuminati have a saying, A nation or world of people who will not use their intelligence are no better than animals who have no intelligence. Such people are beasts of burden and stakes on the table by choice and consent. And in fact, are our legal and lawful prey. And when I say our, I'm not talking about me. I'm quoting them. And for most people, I've got to tell you, they are generally right. You don't like to hear that either, but it's the truth. You've seen the cartoon that we run in Veritas over and over and over and over again. Someday you'll all get the message. I hope it's during my lifetime. Before I die, I would like to be assured that Pooh has a chance to live in freedom for the rest of her life without fear. I'd really like to see that. And for your children and your grandchildren also. I hope that you feel the same way. Now, get on your phones and on your fax machines and start writing your letters. And start leaning on Congress and tell them, this isn't going to die until the real culprits are brought to justice and the real reasons for this are aired like the dirty laundry in public. And that it's never going to happen again. Because if it ever does, ladies and gentlemen, I can guarantee you, there will be civil war in the United States of America. That's not a threat. That's a promise. Good night, and God bless you all.
All of a sudden, in the middle of the night, there's a loud knock on your door. Hey, hi. Something's not right.
Throw out your arms. Let the death wall pass through. We're here for the government. We're here to help you.
I'm from the IRS with a foreign attack. If you've got a complaint, send us a fax.
Get out of this house. Surrender your charges. Give me your gold. You better obey if you want to come home.
Something to think about before you go to sleep tonight. As the BATF was raiding the building and shooting at the Branch Davidians and the helicopters were shooting down from the sky, David Koresh bravely stood in the door and raised his hands and called for them to stop. He yelled, "There's women and children inside. Please, let's talk. Don't do this. Let's talk." And they shot him.
Pipe said Lucifer is God across this land. And Clinton saying, take the mark in your right hand. While we're all dancing to the drums of uproar's right, Clinton's preparing us for another huge tax hike. Order out of chaos, depression, inflation, create the panic and rape the nation. Crisis creation. Incite black and white programs and agitation.
Don't resist! You're surrounded! By the UN in white and brown, the ATF submitted black of the One World Order.
But it's not new! Iron Mountain, computer beasts, and cattle mutilation. Black Project, UFOs, and weird genetic combinations. The Nazi doctors didn't die. Come on, get him. They came here with the OSS through Operation Paperclip. National ID, debit card? Yeah. Vaccination biochip, milk carton kit, genetic engineering. Clinton says her health plans for you and your own good. Sure. And Adolf Hitler's Robin Hood. Masonic mind manipulation, inciting riots is crisis creation.